Today on Annenberg Radio News.
If you remove collective bargaining, the only weapon a worker has is to go out on strike.
The battle over collective bargaining is being fought in Wisconsin. We'll take a look at what would happen without it. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, February 22nd, 2011. I'm Sarah Erickson. The second of three preliminary hearings began today in the Bell City corruption scandal. Former city manager Robert Rizzo is facing 54 counts of extortion-related crimes. Mark Shore was at the criminal courthouse in downtown LA for today's hearing.
Bell residents packed into the courthouse today to see the start of the preliminary hearing for former city administrator Robert Rizzo. The hearing began with Los Angeles County Superior Court Judge Henry J. Hall denying a motion to recuse himself. The defense was concerned that Hall would not have an open mind because he is the same judge who presided over the preliminary hearings for six other Bell officials. Hall said that everyone was starting with a clean slate and told attorneys not to refer to the previous hearing. Rizzo faces 44 counts of misappropriation of public funds, 6 counts of falsification of records by an official custodian, 3 conflict of interest counts, and 1 count of public officer crime. A Bell resident who wished to remain anonymous sounded off on Rizzo.
I think with most Americans, he's probably the most hated man in Los Angeles. He's the most hated man in Bell and Cudahy and Maywood.
He's earned this reputation as most hated because of the scope of the allegations against him. Deputy District Attorney Sean Hassett said in opening remarks that Rizzo gave $1.9 million in illegal loans and abused his power by misappropriating his own salary. Rizzo's attorney James Spertus said that he will not dispute many of the facts in the case, but will question whether or not Rizzo broke the law. Bell resident Roger Ramirez testified today that the public records indicated Rizzo was making more than $15,000 a month, and city council members were making $673 a month. Prosecutors say in reality, most were making a lot more. Other defendants in this hearing are former assistant city administrator Angela Spaccia, Mayor Oscar Hernandez, and former city councilman Luis Artiga. Hernandez and Artiga were among the 6 current and former Bell City Council members ordered to stand trial on other charges last week. For Annenberg Radio News, I'm Mark Shore.
Dozens of bus riders gathered in downtown LA this morning to protest deep cuts to public transportation. Britt Thorson has more on what this means for South LA.
We are the BRU, and this is our fight.
Mass transportation is a human right. We want 50 cent fares, $20 passes. Mass transportation belongs to the...
The LA County Metropolitan Transportation Authority proposed reductions to the public transportation system in early February. 11 Los Angeles Metro bus routes would be cut, while others would have their service and hours reduced. Crystal McMillan, a rider and member of the Bus Riders Union, knows what this will do.
I know what that means to a bus rider. That means that instead of being able to take one bus all the way from my home to my work, I suddenly have to take 3 buses. That means that my commute went from an hour to an hour and a half. That means I suddenly have to find a way to afford a more expensive easy pass because my commute is going to cost a lot more.
MTA officials say these changes are needed to better integrate services between metro buses and trains, and also to save money. Hector Garcia is a security worker and bus rider. Like many others, he depends on public transportation's late night hours to get to work.
We can't afford these cuts. Our jobs are not a regular 40-hour, 9-to-5, Monday to Friday job. We work every day of the week around the clock. It's a 24/7 job. We need the buses. We can't afford these cuts.
Senator Boxer and Representative Micah will be in Los Angeles tomorrow morning to hold a bipartisan hearing on transportation needs. Members of the BRU, as well as Mayor Villaraigosa and transportation officials, are expected to attend. Britt Thorson, Annenberg Radio News.
As Britt reported, Mayor Villaraigosa will be at that hearing tomorrow. He's expected to push for a national, bipartisan approach to financing transportation and highway projects. He hopes that will create jobs. Villaraigosa will be joined by members of the Metropolitan Transportation Commission, Caltrans, and other state transportation service providers. They will likely face criticism over recent cuts to bus and train services. It's been 40 years since the death of Ruben Salazar, an acclaimed Hispanic columnist for the Los Angeles Times. Salazar's death was clouded in controversy, and today the LA County Sheriff's Department took a major move in clearing up the investigation. Whitney Blaine was in Commerce, where Sheriff Lee Baca and others spoke.
August 29, 1970 was the day Ruben Salazar died. There was a riot in East LA, and Salazar was hit in the head by a tear gas canister inside a nearby bar. The canister was fired by an LA County deputy. Sheriff Lee Baca says this was a decision that would not be made today.
To fire into a darkened bar, knowing there are people in there, knowing that this projectile is heavy and could take somebody out just like that, making that decision was tactically unwise.
Salazar's death caused a major public investigation, including a lawsuit the Salazar family filed against the county and sheriff's department. More than 40 years later, the LA County Sheriff's Office of Independent Review released 8 boxes of material from the investigation, including reels of audio and over 1,000 documents. I asked attorney Cynthia Hernandez why this information is coming out now.
You know, it's a really good question. I don't know why now, but I know that recently was the 40-year anniversary of the incident, and that might have prompted, further dialogue about the incident.
Steve Whitmore, spokesperson for Sheriff Lee Baca, said the release of the documents is a great step toward transparency in the sheriff's department. He said it's not easy to modernize all the information, especially the tapes that include witness interviews.
I'm asking you, I don't know. How do you take a 40-year-old tape, and what happens if the tape breaks inadvertently? What happens to the evidence then?
The Office of Independent Review now has a sign-up sheet to view the documents. It's just down the street from Laguna Park, off Atlantic and Whittier Boulevards, which was renamed Ruben F. Salazar Park. Whitney Blaine, Annenberg Radio News.
Many drivers don't like the photo red light cameras installed at some intersections. An audit released by the City Controller's Office in September found there wasn't enough data to conclude the cameras are increasing public safety. But today, the Police Commission accepted the LAPD's findings that LA is one of the safest cities with red light cameras. Tanner Keith has more.
Red light camera systems are supposed to help increase safety at intersections, but that's not always the case. Studies show that red light cameras at intersections are actually increasing the number of rear-end collisions in many cities. Lucas Peterson sees how the cameras could be a problem for drivers.
I think it's just because people are in such a hurry all the time. People are trying to like run the yellows generally, so now when there's a camera, they brake instead of gun it, and I think that makes sense that there's a lot more rear-end collisions.
These rear-end collisions, however, have not been a trend in L.A. The L.A. Board of Police Commissioners credits the placement of photo red light warning signs and longer yellow lights for helping to prevent the chances of sudden braking. Even though red light cameras have proven to be successful in L.A., not everyone thinks they're a good idea. Kristen Phillips does not support the camera system.
I don't know, I think they're unfair, and I think there's a lot of times where they take them when someone hasn't necessarily broken the law or like gone through a light.
The Board of Police Commissioners and the LA Department of Transportation will continue to monitor traffic collisions to ensure that the photo red light camera system is working to improve safety. Tanner Keith, Annenberg Radio News.
Pull out your warm jackets, it'll drop down to 41 degrees tonight. Tomorrow, you can expect fewer clouds with a high of 61 degrees and a low of 42. Thursday will remain mostly cloudy with highs in the 50s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we'll hear from a hopeful candidate for the 10th District about how he hopes to change the community. Hundreds of state workers are protesting for the sixth straight day in Wisconsin's capital. They are calling on the governor to change his position on the bill they call a union buster that's pending in the state Senate. Stephanie Guzman talks to a labor historian about the role of collective bargaining.
States across the country are facing deficits. Many, including California, are looking to reel in state employee pensions to curb some of the budget shortfall. But no state has gone as far as Wisconsin. The state's governor, Scott Walker, wants the state Senate to vote on a bill that would eliminate most collective bargaining powers on issues such as pay raises and working conditions.
It took labor from the beginning of the country till 1935 to get the right to collective bargaining. That's a long time, and now one governor is trying to eliminate that. It's a very anti-democratic move.
That was USC history professor and labor expert Stephen Ross. He says collective bargaining gives workers a seat at the table to negotiate pay, benefits, and hours. He says without it, workers only have one weapon, to strike.
It's what they call one of the poison pills. You know, yeah, in the short term, you might get some savings, but in the long term, you're going to create a warfare between employers and employees.
The 14 Wisconsin Democratic senators have fled the state and are hiding out in Illinois. This blocks a vote on the bill. The state Senate needs at least 20 people to vote on the measure. Without Democrats, that only leaves 19 Republican senators. Supporters of the anti-union bill say unions have had a strong hold over negotiations, causing state pensions to balloon to unreasonable amounts. They say the bill is intended to give the government more control over pay in order to reduce budget deficits. Ross says in the last few decades, federal spending has increased without the same rate of increases in taxes. This makes large public employee pensions a natural target to help close budget deficits. California has already reduced pensions for new workers, but according to Ross, California is a long way from stripping workers of union protections.
Jerry Brown is less inclined to be a union buster, but it would give him, it would set a precedent by which he and the legislature might try to simply abrogate all collective bargaining agreements. And
other states, though, may be following in Wisconsin's footsteps. Republican legislators in Ohio planned hearings on a bill that would curb state workers' rights to unionize, including the right of firefighters and police to collectively bargain. Stephanie Guzman, Annenberg Radio News.
Today is the last day to register to vote in the upcoming March 8th election in Los Angeles. One of the issues coming before LA voters next month is campaign contributions. Julia Dang reports on Measure H.
California's March 8th ballot is out, and Measure H has LA voters deciding whether or not to amend campaign financing. Ballot Measure H seeks to change two major aspects of the current charter. The first aims to limit who can contribute to the city's candidates. If the measure passes, bidders on certain city contracts will face new restrictions when fundraising. Contributions will no longer be able to come from contractors bidding on deals worth over $100,000. Subcontractors expecting to receive at least $100,000 from the contract will also be cut out. The second change targets limitations on the trust fund that matches campaign donations. All limits would be removed, allowing the city council to borrow from the trust fund. In the event of a fiscal emergency, repayment would not need to be completed until the end of the subsequent year. The result? A reduction in general fund money available for everything else. Currently, this trust fund, known as the Matching Funds Program, has an $8 million cap. If Charter Amendment H gets a yes vote in March, the fund will require an additional $3 million each year. However, LA Administrative Officer Miguel Santana claims these provisions are not expected to result in any additional cost to the city. Advocates of Measure H believe this will stop special interest groups from trying to buy influence. Supporters feel that elected officials should focus on addressing serious issues rather than worrying about how to fund upcoming campaigns. However, opponents see no valid reason to spend taxpayer dollars on political campaigns at a time like this. LA is currently facing a $350 million structural deficit, the worst financial crisis the city has seen since the Great Depression. Julia Dang, Annenberg Radio News.
LA residents will also be electing new city council members in some districts, including District 8 and 10 in South Los Angeles. In the coming weeks, Annenberg Radio News and Intersections South LA will bring you interviews with candidates in those districts. Earlier today, I spoke with Gavin Glynn. He's a write-in candidate for the Green Party in District 10 for the seat held by Herb Wesson. What made you decide to run for this position?
I adopted five children, five beautiful children from Department, DCFS, and having to advocate for their rights through LAUSD, through the county, I got to learn to navigate, city government. And I also got to learn how things were being spent appropriately or inappropriately. And so really it was to create a better life for my children, safer parks, safer streets to walk down. And that's how I got involved with my Neighborhood Quality of Life Committee and the West Adams Avenue neighborhood meeting every once a month.
So what is it that you see as the foremost issue on this year's ballot?
Mine personally, it's twofold. The first thing is education. Our students and our community in CD 10 lack far behind that other students within the city. And those are the kids that live in the neighborhood who attend our local schools. The majority of CD 10 parents, they farm their kids out. They go to other schools. And that's a huge issue for CD 10. We have very little development. And we have to shop outside of our community. We send our children to school outside. We're doing everything outside of our community. We're not even nesting in our own community. So CD 10 has to take a very serious look about how we can attract business and development.
If you were elected to be the representative for your district, how do you think that you could bring about improved schools, more funding perhaps for them, more local businesses? What is your plan once elected?
And the point I'm making is that I have to go to a PTA meeting over here, and then I have to go to a West Adams community meeting over here. They need to be in one in the same place, and that's what I want to do. I want to streamline, absolutely see what the LAUSD school district is doing and what the city is doing and see where the carryover is, and we really need to streamline. We shouldn't be paying for satellite offices for the council person when we have public schools to use at night. Too often, everybody thinks that LAUSD is a separate entity from city government. They are on a budget-wise, but not on a voter-wise. On a constituent-wise, the voters are the same people, are the parents and the recipients of quality education in the community.
What is your plan for going about getting these priorities done?
Well, first and foremost is corporate responsibility. You know, the unemployment rate in America is 9.5%. In CD 10, it's 16%, okay? It's almost double. However, we have the number one McDonald's, Jack in a Box, Starbucks. We have all these fast food places that are the number one performers in Southern California.
That was Gavin Glynn, a write-in candidate for the Green Party, running for the city council seat in District 10. Now we check in with Caroline Vandegrift to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Well, thanks for having me here. A couple who from Orange County who were held captive by pirates were killed. ATVN spoke to the minister of the couple's church, Jeannie Collins. Also, the UN officially condemned the violence in Libya, while Gaddafi still refuses to step down. And an earthquake has devastated New Zealand, but the LA County Fire Department is sending a rescue team tonight. We have all that and more tonight on Annenberg TV News, 6 p.m. live on Trojan Vision. And as always, you can find us on the web at atvn.org.
Thanks, Caroline, for that. Well, that's it for this Tuesday. We had help today from Carl Nickenegg. Chris Foy is our producer. Jessica Flores is the executive producer. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Sarah Erickson.